Well, if you can make your way to your seats and we can go ahead and get started, that would be wonderful, please. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 24. But before we go there, a couple of quick things I want to say. And can you please translate this for me?
Yeah, of course.
So they make sure they get the message very clear, okay? Yeah. So 15 years ago, we had a young man come to our house to stay with us. He was our first exchange student that we had at our home. But he's one that we have never forgotten. He is like we call him our Brazilian son. And he made such an impact on us 15 years ago that we're just so happy to be able to spend the last few months with him and his wonderful wife, Ananda, as well. So thank you so much for entrusting us to have him with us. And his love for fishing, I feel like I have a little bit of that. Yes. All right, if you have your Bibles again, turn to Matthew chapter 24, please. We're going to continue on in a series of sermons that we have been doing called Signs. Now, I want to once again express to you clearly that signs are everywhere you go. There's road signs, thank the Lord that there's road signs. There's speed signs, there's all kinds of signs everywhere you go. Having said that, signs are not intended to scare you. Signs are intended to give you direction and say what is coming up. And so when we look at these and we talk about these signs, we know that Scripture tells us very clearly that the Lord is coming back again. He's coming back to this earth again. We know that for sure, without certain. It is guaranteed to us that he is coming back. We also know that according to not only Matthew 24, but other places, that we should not try to guess the hour or the day or any of those things. Because we just don't know. We don't know when the Lord is choosing to come back, but he is coming back. And so when we talk about these things, what I want you to understand is I'm trying to give you details to understand that not to get scared or to lose faith or to bury your head in the sand or any of those things. What I am trying to show us is to be prepared for what is to come. Matthew chapter 24 says that, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must not take place. Let me try this again. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Last week, we talked about false teachers, if you will, people that share a message that is that Jesus warned us against. He warned us against not falling to these things. And what I cautioned you to do last week was to make sure that you are in Scripture, that you are identifying what the Scripture says, that you're reading this and living this out today. Because if you know what's in here, you're not going to be persuaded by false teachers. Now, listen, I completely understand that each and every one of us may interpret different events. I was talking with some people this past week, and they asked me, am I a pre-rapture, mid-rapture, post-rapture? And I said, I'm a panologist. Whatever pans out happens, right? The truth of the matter is that if we read Scripture, we'll understand and see what's going on. But Jesus gives us these next warnings after warning us about being a false teacher. He tells us what's coming next and these things that are going to happen. He says you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. That's true today. It's been true for many years, right? Human beings seem to have a habit of getting into wars with each other. But as we look at this, we'll look at these numbers later on, but these are increasing. But Jesus says, see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. So just because the rumor of wars and wars around doesn't mean that the end is here. It's not yet, but it is a sign. My wife and I, on the way home from, well, last night when we were leaving the marriage retreat coming home, my wife was sleeping in the car is what she was actually doing. And I decided that I was going to listen to the old 70s song, Signs, Signs, Everywhere There's Signs, right? And I listened to that song a few times and I just kind of chuckled to myself because it's true. Everywhere you look, there's a sign of something. But Jesus gives us these signs not to cause pain or not to cause us to fall into fear. He gives us these signs to prepare us, to say, this is the time for you to get your heart right. This is the time for you to be in this right place, to be in step with him, because that's what matters most. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll jump in to some numbers here I want to share with you. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you, we lift you high, Father, because you are so worthy of that and so much more. Lord, we ask you today that as we gather before you to open up Scripture, as we read the Scripture, we ask you that you just enlighten our minds, that you remove any hindrances, that you help us to understand what you are saying through these Scriptures today that we are reading. We honor you, Father. We glorify you. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, that Jesus, that I ask that my words would not be my own, but they truly be your words, Father, as you lead us down this path, as we prepare and see the signs that are around us, not to be scared, but to be prepared and to be in the right standing with you as we await your coming again, Father. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that Jesus cautions us against is that wars will, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. When we look at this number, you know, there's something really easily that you can track. You can actually go back and track these things. I don't know that if you know that, but there are many websites out there today that are tracking these things. For example, if you look at the wars and rumors of wars, this is just going back to 1994. In 1994, there was 100 wars, or rumors of wars, I should say, conflicts. It's probably a better way of saying that. In the year 2000, there was 84. In the year 2016, there was 160. In the year 2020, there was 190. And in the year 2023, we had more than what we've ever had, 203. Some will say, well, didn't we have all of these in World War I and World War II? Yes, those were tragic times in our earth. But the actual conflicts that were, the number of conflicts or the wars that were going on, it was a worldwide war. And so you can look at this and say, okay, is that worse than what we have today? Yes, it is. But the idea of this is that there are wars and rumors of wars that are going on. This number is increasing. And some would say, yes, okay, the wars and rumors of wars are increasing. You know why? Because the population of the world is also increasing. We're somewhere near, I think it was 8 billion people in the world today. And so when we look at this number, obviously one thing that humans do well is they fight with each other. Without intervention, humans will fight with each other. And so we understand that this is increasing, that we are increasing, we're seeing all of these things. You know, a lot of, when we use numbers, we talk about these numbers, I want to warn you of a couple, two different things. Number one is called the recency bias. Many people say, man, this is the worst winter we've ever had. Well, not really. This past winter was very warm, right? It was probably one of the warmest winters we've had. But when we go through an event, there's something called a recency bias. And that recency bias means that in your head, you remember only recent events. You don't remember what has happened over a course of time. And so if you're in climatology, if you're in any of these things, you have to understand that just a recent event doesn't mean anything. For example, there's cyclical trends that happen. We do increase in temperature. We do drop in temperature. I'm not getting into the political argument that there is not there isn't something going on with our climate today. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that there are trends, there are things, there are cycles in all of these things. But this number of wars is something that is increasing and it's continued to increase. In 1994, that number briefly peaked at 100, but stayed roughly there for the rest of the century. And in 2010, we hit our lowest number in the period of 81. But then something in 2015 happened, and we started to spike, and it's been continuing ever since. What do we do with this? Well, Jesus was very clear that nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom will rise up against kingdom. And I think that if Jesus was here today, he would not be, which he is, but if he was walking with us and he was speaking to us today, he would not be telling us to be concerned with the wars. What he would be telling us is to be concerned about loving each other. Listen, there's enough wars going on around us. Why do we have to fight with the people that are right next to us? Our family members, our loved ones. We need to learn to reach out and love like the way Jesus would want to learn to reach out and love, but also understand that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. That's guaranteed. We have a job to do. And that job is to serve the kingdom of God on this earth. And his kingdom is going to be against the kingdom of this earth. Our job is to serve him. Our job is to share the love that we have with him, the love, and to walk around and showing these things, but also to read the signs that are going on. These are called birth signs. Anyone in here that's ever given birth knows that there's something that happens in your body that begins to peak as you get closer to having the baby. And then at the time when it's time to deliver, there's great pain and tribulation and just screaming that happens often, right? But these are signs of what is to come as labor. These signs that we're seeing here on this earth is signs of these wars and rumors of wars. Jesus goes on to tell us that earthquakes and famines are going to happen. Do you know that the number of earthquakes that have occurred in the last 3 years is almost 10 times what it was in the previous 10 years? Now, I want to caution you a little bit on this number too. Because when we read this number, what we think of is, oh my goodness, there's earthquakes everywhere and they're just going on everywhere. Well, they are. I mean, for the first time, we had an earthquake in New Jersey just a couple weeks ago. That hasn't happened in a very, very long time. But here's the issue with this also. Do you know that today there is roughly 1 million locations across this globe that are actually measuring seismic activity? 40 years ago, there was roughly about 100,000. 100 years ago, there was roughly about 3 or 4. More than that, the ground's shaking. Oh, there must be an earthquake, right? It was all in your mind. Now, if someone dropped something in the house or something happened and the ground shook and you said, there's an earthquake, that was the measurement back then. And so we have to be careful when we use these types of numbers and we use these types of things, because the simple fact is that there are way more people measuring earthquakes today than there ever was before. But you can't get past the idea that there is, in the last 10 years, more earthquakes than there was previous. And this year alone has increased. The number of earthquakes that happened this year was more than what happened all of last year. Just this year alone, what has happened January through April of this year. Now, I want to caution you again, one last thing, is that liars use numbers, and numbers never lie. If you're in a business that, if you're in stats for anything, whether it's whatever you do, numbers can, you can paint a picture with numbers. You can paint a picture with numbers, and you can make numbers say almost anything you want it to say. And if you're really good at that, you can take really bad numbers and make them look really, really good. Yeah, we're down $1 million over last year. That doesn't mean anything, because guess what? We're up 150% over the last 2 weeks. Well, great. We're still down $1 million over last year. It doesn't matter, right? But it's how you use these numbers that matter. So what I want to caution you on these things is that earthquakes, famines, all these other things we're going to get in famines, earthquakes, rumors of wars, all of these things are just numbers that we're using. But here's the difference. If you're a Christian, you feel it. Inside of you, you feel it. It's not just these numbers. It's not just these things. But inside of us, there's something going on. If we look at famines, in 2019, about 8% of the world's population was affected by hunger. That's in 2019. That was relatively unchanged since about 2015. In 2020, that number jumped up to 9.3% of the world's population is hungry. In 2021, this number has jumped up to 9.8%. And today, they're saying that this number for this year will rise above 10% for the first time. That means 10% of the world's population is starving. Now, I will also tell you again, a lot of this is our population growth, right? If you look around the world, the population of the United States is not growing, but the population of the world is growing. And so you have to understand that there is a population boom going, and so as that population boom happens, so does the famines, and so does all of these other things. What does that mean? You can read this stat if you want to and not do anything about it, but when we read this stat, guess what? Do you know that 30% of Ridgetown High School students, of Ridgetown School District students, this is the small little school district that's just over here, suffer from food insecurity? Do you know that the number here in Ravenna Schools, is way greater than 30%? In fact, I just heard recently, I talked to the counselor, she said that the number is somewhere around 75% of the students at Ravenna School District suffer from food insecurities. So we can read these and say, hey, I feel bad for the people in Africa, I feel bad for those people in those countries, and not do anything about it. Or we can read this and say, this number is true here also, and what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? See, we can look at all of these things and we can get scared and we can say, oh yeah, Jesus told us there's going to be earthquakes. Jesus told us there's going to be famines. Jesus told us there's going to be wars. And we can just get scared and not do anything about it. Or we can get about the Lord's business. Feeding the hungry. Clothing the poor. Doing the things that God calls us to do. It's important that you understand that we don't run from this, but instead we run towards it. These numbers don't scare me. It makes me drop to my knees and want to pray. It makes me want to say, Lord, how can we solve this? How can we help these people? Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This is called persecution. Do you know that persecution of the Christian has happened every single day from years after years after years? Since actually even before Christ was here, Christians were persecuted. Well, let me rephrase that. The Israelites were persecuted even before Christ came. Can't have Christianity without Christ. So let's read some numbers here. Do you know that 322 Christians are killed for their faith every month? 322. Do you know that 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed every month? Do you know that 772 forms of violence, beatings, kidnaps, rape, arrests, etc., are committed against Christians every month? Now, you could say, how is this possible? This isn't happening. It's possible because just because it doesn't happen here in the United States doesn't mean it doesn't happen elsewhere. We are blessed as a country to live here in the United States where persecution has not yet affected us. Everywhere else it's happening. If you go to any other country today, one of the biggest issues right now is in Central Africa, where Christians are being murdered every single day for their faith. And so you have to understand that today persecution is happening everywhere you go. It just may not, just because it's not happening around you doesn't mean that it's not happening. Jesus warns us that these persecutions are going to continue. Why? Because we serve a different God than they do. We have something that's different. People don't like things that are different. And so persecution comes. Again, can you imagine 322 Christians are killed for their faith every month? Do you know that just this past week, I believe it was Thursday, there were 17 men, ladies, and children murdered for their faith in Iraq. They took them out to the middle of the streets and proceeded to martyr them. Each and every one of them. 1 in 7 Christians are persecuted for their faith last year. This was up from 1-8 in 2021, and this was also up from the year previous. That was 1-9, and the year previous that was 1-10. Every year, this number goes up, and it's getting worse. Persecution is happening. It's happening everywhere. We've just been blessed that it doesn't happen here. We haven't experienced it here in the United States. Now, I want to pause here for a moment and say, these are some fun facts, huh? We read these and go, oh my goodness. But Jesus gives us what we need to do. Jesus gives us some advice for us as we look at this. If you look at Matthew chapter 24, it says again, "And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and false prophets will rise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." The one that endures to the end will be saved. When Jesus says that the love of many will fade away and they will betray one another, you know what he's talking about is he's talking not just about the people outside who aren't believers in Christ. He's talking about the people who are Christians themselves. People will hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. See, today what we have to worry about is we need to be setting fires. And when I say fires, I mean Holy Spirit fires. Fires that draw the Christian, get their heart warmed up, and they get their pulse moving forward. We are called to be those believers. We are called to be those believers that share the gospel of Christ with the people around us. We are shared to understand the position where they're at and not fall away to their hate, not fall away to being led astray, but instead learn to not grow cold. It's so easy to grow cold to these numbers. I mean, today, if you watch the news, story after story after story is bad news, right? And it's so easy to understand those things, but we're called not to fall away to that. We're called not to grow cold to that. We're called to be something different, to act different, to talk different, to look different, to do things. We're called to love the people around us, not cause the love of many to grow cold. Jesus goes on to say, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Man, it's such an amazing verse. Can you think about that? The one who endures to the end will be saved. So what should we do? Well, I have listed a couple things here. I want to talk about these just for a moment. Number one is that we need to stay hot for Jesus. When I say stay hot for Jesus, that means we have to live the life that Jesus has called us to live. We need to know our scripture. We need to read the scripture, digest the scripture, and live out what the Bible says. And just because someone thinks differently, acts differently than you, doesn't mean that we can then not follow them or reach out to them. We're called to reach out to the ones that don't look like. Jesus loved to have lunch and dinner with the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the people that were ceremonial unclean that the church would say was. What are we doing today? How are you today reaching out to those people? Are you reaching out trying to build a relationship with the people around you? Are you reaching out and saying, listen, I want to stay in the good graces of Jesus. I want to stay in that relationship with him. And so therefore, I'm going to do all that I can. Don't let your love for Jesus grow cold. Yes, these events are going to happen. Yes, they're going to increase. Yes, there's going to be all of these things happening around us, but our love for Jesus must grow, not decline. Number two says that we need to love each other. Jesus was very clear that many will betray each other and hate each other. These are some nasty words, but these are true. Think about it today. How many times can you say that there's people in your life today that you don't have a relationship with because they said something, they did something, they acted differently than you? I mean, maybe we don't want to purposely say it out loud, and that's fine. But there are people that happens. We need to love like Jesus more than ever before. The world may hate us for following Jesus, but at least we'll have the love for each other. Our job is not to get the world to love us. Our job is to get them to see and love Jesus.
That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do.
The ultimate goal is for the word of God to be preached around the world. For every nation, every person to hear this word. Number three is to endure to the end. Listen, I want to be very honest with you. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is not easy. If you've been told that it's easy, then you've been told a lie. It's not easy. There's no guarantees in the Bible that you're not going to face some type of trouble. What is easy about it is that the Lord Jesus walks with us and makes everything possible. That doesn't mean that you're not going to face problems. It doesn't mean that we're not going to face issues in our lives, because we are. But the beauty of those issues when we face those is that we have Jesus walking with us. When we have those issues that arise in our health, when we have those issues that arise in our relationships, when we have those issues that arise just in general, we have Jesus who walks with us, and that's what matters most. That's what we must grab a hold of and endure to the end. I want to say this, and I want to make this very clear. God so loved you that not only did he give his only begotten son to die on the cross for you, but he also allowed you to be born during the time of this hour, this day, this moment. God saw something in each and every one of you that he said, you would be perfect for the time that we're in today. That you would be perfect to receive. You'll be able to handle what's going to happen around you today. God placed you in your life and in your community and in your neighborhood. God placed you in your family that you're in today for a reason, for a purpose, because he believes that you can do it. And so when we give up, when we don't endure to the end, what we're really saying is that, God, you don't know what you're doing. He knows not only what he is doing, but he believed in you. I don't know if anyone's ever told you this before, but God so believed in you that he's entrusted you to be part of this time right now, right here. And so if this is the end times and we're seeing the end of the world and we're seeing Jesus going to come back at some moment, may it be so. But if that's the case, then I am so thrilled and honored that God saw something in me that I could stand here and be a pastor during these times. I'm so honored that I can be not only a pastor, but I can be a Christian, a believer, and see Jesus, and that I have something to give, something to help this time, right here, right now. Matthew 24:14 says, and the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. This verse is such an amazing verse because there's a couple things I want you to realize. Yes, some people will say, Christians have been saying that Jesus is going to come back for many, many years. That's true, we have been. And he is closer today than what he ever has been before, just because the time has increased. But I want you to understand something. Do you know that you have a role to play in the timing of Jesus coming back? Someone will say, now, hold back. Don't call heresy on me here for a moment, right? But the truth of the matter is that Jesus is not coming back until the whole world has an opportunity to hear and has received. Because this is what this verse says. Jesus in his own words says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So if you want to see Jesus come back, if you're ready for him to come back, which hopefully as all Christians we are, then we have a job to do. We have a job to do. We have to be out sharing the gospel message. Not that our timing and our job is going to do anything, but if we're out sharing the message of Jesus Christ with the people around us, and we're proclaiming the word of God to those people around us, then we are helping Jesus be able to return. We have a job to do. We have a job to see the kingdom of God spread to all of the nations. And so my simple question to you today is, what are you doing to help that out? Do you know that we used to say that there is this 1040 window. The 1040 window is the 10th parallel, the longitude, latitude, 1040 window. This is a stretch of nations, mainly in Asia, where there are people that have never heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ before. And that still is true today. There's still fractions of people in that area, in that 1040 window, that still has not heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But do you know today, this is also true at a greater alarming rate. In fact, I heard something along the lines of 15 to 20% of Americans today has never heard a gospel message. That's higher than it ever has been before. Today. Just think about it. Every time you drive down the street, how many churches you see? Churches a lot. There's a lot of churches around here. And the further south you go, going to Texas, there's a lot of churches in Texas. A lot of churches in the south, right? But today, the number of people in the United States that have not heard the gospel message is increasing, not decreasing. This is an amazing number, a stat. And so what I want to caution you, what I want to warn you about is that we have a job to do. We have a job to share this message. We have a job to share the gospel message, to go out and tell people how wonderful Jesus is, how much he loves us, how much he loves you and I, and what he has done for us. So my question to all of you today, what are you doing to help this happen? Have you invited your neighbors over for dinner? Have you gone over and just said, hey, can I talk to you for a moment? Have you spent some time with people at work saying, hey, can I pray for you? Have you seen a crying woman at the store and walked up to her and say, is there anything I can pray for you about? Have you seen the hunger at schools and communities and said, I want to serve food to them in the name of Jesus? Are you going and doing those things? God has called us to do those things. We have a job to do, and it's time that we do those jobs. And we have a role to play in that timing. Because if you and I would be about our job, if the Christians in the world today would stand up and start sharing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the whole world could hear the love and joy of Jesus. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. You know, no matter what happens in the coming years, months, days, whatever it is, there's one thing that only matters. And that one thing that matters most is that Jesus Christ loves you and I. That God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16, to die on the cross for you and I. Why? I'm sure you can look at it. I'm sure you can see it today. Was that a kid? Yeah.
That was my kid.
Oh, that's funny. I heard some screaming. I'm thinking, man, okay. Yeah, okay. The important message here is that Jesus loves us and that he called you and I to a relationship with him. See, the question is never, is Jesus coming back? Because he is coming back. Doesn't matter what theology you believe, the timing doesn't really matter. Jesus is coming back on this earth. What matters most is what we're going to do with that. Are we going to be found prepared? Are we going to be found like what Jesus warned us about? Are we going to be led astray? Are we going to find our hearts grown cold? Are we going to find us hating each other? Are we going to find ourselves with our head in the sand, buried? Are you going to find us prepared and waiting? Doing what God has called us to do. See, one of my greatest prayers is that whenever the Lord takes me home, whether that's when he comes down and calls us all home, or my days, whenever that number is up, that God finds me doing his work here on this earth. Sharing the gospel message with those around us. loving people, solving the hunger issue, solving the things, doing what I can do here on this earth to help each other. Because see, that's what matters most. Should we be prepared? Yes, we should. Do we know something's coming? Yes, something's coming. Something's always coming. But my relationship with Jesus is what matters most. Your relationship with Jesus is what matters most. So where are you in that today? The simple truth is that there are signs everywhere that Jesus is going to return. And at some moment he will return, and at some moment it'll be too late for us to say anything, to do anything, to pray for our neighbors, to pray for our loved ones, to pray for ourselves. It'll be too late. Because when Jesus returns, he's calling us home. The time to prepare is now. The time to be ready for that is now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not in 3 years, not in 5 years, wherever the Lord tarries, however long that is. But the time is now. The signs are all around us. But the question is, are you ready for what is to come? I'm going to ask you to stand, please. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 simply says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we accept what he did on the cross for us, then we can have everlasting eternal life. And a lot of that is true, but there's a lot more to it than just that. Salvation has so much more to do than just saying a simple prayer. Salvation is all about a relationship with Jesus Christ, where you say, I'm so in love with Christ that I want to overcome the things that are in my life and I want to grow closer to him. There's way more than just saying a simple prayer. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle change to live for him and with him. And so may I encourage you today, maybe here today you're watching at home online, you've never said those words. You've never accepted Jesus Christ. You've never started that relationship with him. Then today, can today be that day? Can today be that day when you accept and you say, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Not because I'm worthy, not because I said some prayer, but because I love him so much. I want my life to be different. I need his help to go through these things that we're going through. I need his help to make it through the famines and the wars and the pestilence and everything else that's going on around us. Today could be that day. In a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you want to receive and to pray. And then what we're going to do is just sing one last worship song. We're going to open up these altars. If you want to come forward and get prayer, we'd love to pray for you or pray with you. But today I just encourage you to look upon the eyes of Jesus, to see him, to love him, and to grow in your relationship with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for all that you have done for us. I thank you that you love us so much so that not only did you make a way for us, but you want to have a love relationship with us here on this earth, right now, right here in this place. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would help us to walk closer to you and away from those things, that we would accept you, Father, in our hearts, that we'd love you, and that we would have a relationship with you. And that we choose to walk every single day, growing closer to you, not away from you. And you would do what you have called us to do, and you would give us the strength and the boldness to do what you've called us to do, to be Christians who are prepared, to be the ones that are trying to solve the hunger issues, to be the ones who are not worried about persecution, but instead are worrying about serving you and sharing the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us. Being the ones who won't hate each other, but instead love each other. Being the ones that will not let our hearts grow cold, but instead be on fire for you. Lord Jesus, let that be so today in this place and in this room for each and every single one of us. As we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because you deserve that and so much more. We love you, Lord. We lift you up. Pray that you'd be with us today and every day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Let's worship together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now. That taught my heart to hear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear? The hour I first knew, my chains are gone. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And I know His mercy reigns. A landing of amazing grace. The Lord has promised. Let my hope seek yours. He will my shield and portion be as long as I am yours. I change of God, I think serve thee. I got my seed.
Is going to return, and we should be prepared and ready to go when He does, to be found working, doing the work that God has called us to do. Each and every one of us in this room, the Lord is employing you to go out and share the message of Christ with those around you. May you be found busy doing His work at that time. What a beautiful day that will be when that comes. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just an amazing opportunity to serve you, to love you, to worship you in this place. And someday, Father, that amazing grace, we'll all sing together in all languages around your throne. What a beautiful day that will be. But until that day, Lord Jesus, send us out into this place to be your hands and feet, to do the work that you've called us to do, to love the people around us, to feed those that are in need, to help the poor, to help the needy, but most importantly, to share the gospel message and the truth of how wonderful you are to the people around us. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.